son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my impurity. Lord, I need you to clean this house from the inside out.
Sipping on something to drink, drink, God. The enemy's got the best of me, yeah. And I gotta do something quick before I go crazy. So many voices in my head so loud I can't even think. My friends and family are gone. My life is going so wrong. Lord, I need you to come. Oh, take me home. Oh, make a way out of no way. My hero. Come on and save the day.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Do what? Lay aside every what? What you weighted down with? All right, let me tell you, a weight may not be a sin. Weights and sins are not the same thing. You can have some things slowing your progress down that's not sinful. You can have too much excess of anything that will divert your attention away from God and become an idol in your life, and it's a weight. It may not be a sin. It's not a sin to watch TV. But if you can't read your Bible for the TV, you got to wait. Weights can eventually lead to sin. He said, lay aside those weights. A weight is anything that's slowing your progress down as a believer. Anything that's hindering your journey. Yeah. If you was running a track and I put a sack of potatoes on you and tell you to run, I didn't sin against you when I told you to carry the potatoes. I just slowed your progress down. Yeah. I got something in your life now that's going to hinder you from running as fast as you can run, that's going to make you tired or quicker, that's going to interfere with your endurance. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. That sin that just seems like you just fall for it every time. How long are you going to fall for the same sin? 15 years? You ain't supposed to be falling for the same trap of the devil 15 years in a row. As you grow, there ought to be some buttons that don't work. You know how the devil push a button and say, if I do this, they're going to do this. They're going to respond this way. If you hit that button right there, they're going to respond. I know exactly what they're going to do. If I can just get somebody to say this to them, I'm going to throw them into a fit. I'm going to give them not a Holy Ghost fit. I'm going to give them a flesh fit. Just have somebody say this to them. And then they'll tell you, boy, you done struck a nerve. Now, how long that nerve going to be there? You getting on my nerves. I said, get your nerve out of the way. I'm on my last nerve. How you know that's the last one? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a race that is set before every person in here. You got a race to run. And God is concerned about how you run the race. You're not supposed to be weighted down with bitterness. You're not supposed to be weighted down with unforgiveness. You shouldn't be weighted down with sexual sin. You shouldn't be weighted down with anything that's ungodly, just weighting you down, weights and sins and things like that. You're to run with patience the race that's set before you. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen to this. Who for the joy that was set before him, he had a race set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. If you don't take a good look at Jesus, first time trouble show up in your life, you get tired and want to give up. Want to throw the towel in. I got problems. I ain't going to church no more. I got problems. I ain't tithing. I got problems. I'm forgetting about this love walk. I got problems. I ain't going to be speaking no word. What good that's going to do? Telling me to speak some words. I ain't speaking nothing but what I see. You see, you're going to mess up if you do that. It said, consider him. We consider Jesus, lest we be weary and faint in our own mind. Jesus endured a great contradiction of sinners. He endured. Amen. You're going to have to endure some things. But people's endurance is like a short fuse today. They're going to endure for a little while. I'm going to give you 2 days to get it right. If not, I'm out of here. And then say, the Lord told me to go on. Just, I got to go on, climbing up the rough side. All these people saying stuff the Lord told them don't line up with scripture. The Lord ain't said nothing to them. They're living after their own desire. They're doing what they want to do in their own heart. And then they'll try to make it so that God said it was all right. God is not contradicting nothing that he wrote. If you don't have a scripture on what you're doing, you need to go back to the well. The well of life. You need to go back to the word. And you can't just say, well, God, it's all right with the Lord because I feel all right. You can't be led by your feelings. Amen. Just because it feel good to you and I feel like I just can't take no more of this. You ain't supposed to be living by that. You're going to mess up. You're going to end up living in error. Amen. Do you know you can live your life, your whole life in error? God doesn't want you to live in error. But if you're going to run your race, you're going to have to run with humility. That means that you're going to have to keep your heart checked, and you're going to have to make sure that you don't have some pride manifesting in you all the time. I'm going to show you some scriptures on this right here. So when you talk about humility, we know humility, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, it says be clothed with humility. You're supposed to wear humility like a garment. That means that's something that you never take off, that you might remain humble before God, and you remain a servant in your heart. Amen. And that you don't have a puffed up opinion about yourself. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the proud and the haughty. Whole lot to say. And we've covered a lot of that, so I'm not going to go back over ground that I've covered, because we've done about 6 messages on this already. But let me tell you some other manifestations of arrogance and pride. I'm going to give you 9 manifestations. 9 other manifestations that maybe I've touched on, but not a whole lot. These are manifestations of pride and arrogance. Number 1, boasting in yourself, your wealth, or your power and your ability. You don't want to be a boaster in yourself, because that's not pleasing to God. Hallelujah. You don't want to do that. There's a lot of people that will boast in their wealth. They'll brag about how much money they got. Or they'll brag about how good they are, how smart they are, how intelligent they are, how they, you know, just bragging. And then you have people that are boast in their ability. And they don't realize that everything they got come from God anyway. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because I know that the scriptures say that God gives breath to all men. You wouldn't even be alive without him. Let's just start with breathing. If God took his air from you, how long would you last? If he cut off your air supply, you know how they come cut your water off? Cut your electricity off? You can live without water for a while. You can borrow some from your neighbor. They cut your utilities off. You can still make it. You can get you some candles. But let somebody cut your air supply. How long would you last? And you got people say, I'm a self-made man or woman. You ain't self-made nothing. If you are, you are self-made nothing. Can't be prideful and arrogant of heart. Another manifestation of the proud is that they speak swelling words. They have a puffed up soul. And they speak extravagantly. The Bible talks about people that speak great swelling words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I want, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I should bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of their uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Paul is saying to the church, he said, I'm coming to see you, and he said, I'm really concerned that I'm not going to like what I find when I get there. And I'm really concerned that y'all not going to like me how I am when I get there. And then he said, I'm really concerned that God's going to humble me, and I'm going to have to cry over some of y'all that have never repented of your sin. Paul said, I'll have to cry over those that have never repented. The New Living says, for I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly conduct. Yes, I'm afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, your sexual immorality, and your eagerness for lustful pleasure. This was in the church way back then. People serving God, praising God, worshiping God, but have never repented of their old sins. Never turned their back on sin. And Paul said, I'll have to cry over you. Swelling means a puffing up of the soul. It means loftiness. It means pride. That's another word for it, pride. So sometimes people will speak great swelling words. 2 Peter 2:18. Says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that will clean escape from them which live in error. Now, I looked at that word error. It means a wandering, a straying about, one led astray from the right way, who roams here and there. Mental straying. Wrong opinion relative to morals or religion. Error which shows itself in action. A wrong mode of acting. That which leads into error, deceit and fraud. So really, people are living in error sometimes when they don't allow the word of God to get rooted in them, and they won't get themselves rooted in God. They won't get themselves rooted in Christ. And so they live in error. They stray from the truth. And to stray from the truth means that you leave the truth a little bit by little bit. See, it's not an abandonment of the truth. It is a straying away from the truth. It is a subtle pull away from the truth. And people wander going here and there. That's why I meet people sometimes say, well, where's your church home? Well, I don't have one. I just go wherever the Lord lead me. They are living in error and don't know it. If that was the way the Holy Ghost moved and the way that God worked in the church, then he'd have all of us doing that. What if next Sunday I say, well, you know, I don't feel like going to my church today. I think I'll just go visit somebody else today. You know, the Holy Ghost lead me to go somewhere else today. What would y'all do if I did y'all like that 3 or 4 times a quarter? And they say, where the pastor? He didn't feel led to be here today. The Holy Ghost led him somewhere else. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana.